I'm going to let my next guest, Brad Stein, introduce himself.
Oh, I have to tell you about you. A lot of people, if you do not know who I am, there's something about me you should know right off the bat. I believe in freedom. I believe in freedom of speech. And so I want to give you the same opportunity that I hear a lot of people try to tell us all the time when we see something we don't want to see. Hey, just turn the channel. I'm going to give you a little channel turning chance right now before we get the ball rolling about me. You better know it. You better know it now. Number one, I am a conservative comedian. Listen to me. A conservative comedian. One of two known to exist in the Western Hemisphere. Number two, I am a Christian. I believe that God is real, and I'm proud that that is the heritage of my country. That's number two. And number three, I believe the United States of America is the greatest country that has ever existed on the face of the earth. It's worth fighting for. It's worth dying for, because there's never been a country like this. It's better than Europe. That's why we left. I have found my constituency.
That's from Brad Stein's latest comedy CD, A Conservative Unleashed. Stein used to play the comedy circuit, but now he plays evangelical churches and other Christian events, such as private parties for the staffs of Pat Robertson's Christian Broadcasting Network and Jerry Falwell's church. This summer, he's toured with the Christian men's group The Promise Keepers. Last month, he was profiled in The New Yorker magazine. Brad Stein, welcome to Fresh Air. What would you say separates you from more secular comics?
I'm shorter, I think, than more of them. I'm like 5'6". So, you know, I got the short constituency, which is very rare, I think, in the comedy field. But, you know, I think what really makes me different, at least from what people are telling me, is that, number one, I'm a conservative politically. So I definitely come from a political point of view that rarely is seen in the entertainment industry. Secondly, I am a Christian. I do believe in God. I believe Jesus is God. So I have a specific religious belief. I would say also never use a curse word. And also just, oh, yeah, no, like, gratuitous sexual references. So it's a very clean show. But yet it still fits with, you know, the style of mainstream comedy, which is, you know, sort of sarcastic and satirical and in your face and so on and so forth. So it's kind of an interesting mix, kind of like clean comedy in a dirty package.
Well, you are very in your face. Now, this summer you've been touring with the Christian men's group, The Promise Keepers.
I have. I'd worked a number of events, like with 15,000 men, so it's exciting. And just to have all that testosterone is just that's something you don't normally get in a comedy club. So, and my comedy style really just hits well for men, because guys like stuff in your face and pulling no punches.
So what goes over best with the Promise Keepers?
Well, I mean, the whole idea of what men are, and that we have so few facilities in this country that, you know, are just allow men to be men, you know. I mean, and I talk about that. I was like, you know, women, I love them. I mean, there's no anti-women. Promise Keepers is designed to teach men to be great husbands and great fathers. That's what it's for. It's to give them a sense of their purpose on this earth and their value that they have to give to culture and society. But, you know, I like to joke with them as men and let them feel like, hey, it's a guy's event, you know, and you don't have to, you know, you can go use the woman's restroom. You don't have to put the seat down. I love that. You know, finally, you know, we can be free from that, because that's what I've heard my whole life from my wife. Put the seat down. And I asked her why, and she said, because if you don't want to go potty in the middle of the night, I fall in the toilet. That's what my wife told me. I'm thinking, you know, every time you go potty, you sit. I sit down half the time. I'm not nearly as experienced as it as you are, and yet I've managed to never fall in the toilet. I'm sorry, but if you have to sit down every time you go potty and you don't make sure the seat's there, you deserve to fall in the toilet. That's your punishment for not using your neck. So anyway, stuff like that.
How come you say go potty, which is a word that people use when they're talking to their three-year-olds?
Interesting. You know what? I mean, I guess I just say that because, you know, and this is the interesting tightrope that I walk. Because I'm working for a group of people who come from, you know, very, oftentimes very conservative areas, and not, again, not politically, but religiously. I mean, they're not used to any kind of language, anything. I mean, when, you know, you got to understand, if I go into a comedy club and a guy says, I'm clean, that means he only uses the F word once. I mean, literally, that's how they see it. It's a whole different style of what clean means to a professional comic in a club. But in a church, clean means you don't use any curse word. You don't use any curse word. You don't use any gratuitous sexual references. So even though there's, you know, most of the men in this audience, or most of the people that I perform for could care less what I say. I've gotten such a reputation of people being able to bring their kids to these shows. I've got such a reputation of people being able to bring people who have never been in a nightclub, literally in their entire life, will come and see my show and laugh at it. But they've never seen contemporary style comedy. They're used, you know, to them, comedy is Bob Hope or Red Skelton, you know, Carol Burnett or something. So I actually try to be careful about just simple words like that, to be able to not sort of turn these people off. And as much as somebody like yourself and I who've been to theater and know what's out there and what words are and maybe aren't even offended by them, there are people that are.
You know, in one of your routines, you make fun of Christian book burnings. And you say, you know, if Hitler did it, maybe you should be heading in a different direction.
Yeah, well, so, I think that's a good rule of thumb.
Yeah, so what reaction do you get from audiences when you say that?
I've actually had most of them laugh. I mean, this is what's so sad to me. You know, I wish conservatives and liberals just had a way to sort of interact with each other and talk in a civil way instead of these sort of shows on TV that seem to have us hating each other. Because so many of us are reasonable. So many Christians, for the most part, 99% of them, laugh and applaud, and we'll even stand up at Promise Keepers. They'll stand up. They give me standing ovations at that thing because they didn't want to be represented by that ridiculous element of calling themselves Christians and burning books like it's some sort of fascist regime. It's ridiculous. And so they appreciate that. But I also had a guy come up to me and wrote me a little note while I was signing autographs and said, here, read this later. And he slunk off. And whenever a Christian does that, I know he's about to, you know, lambast me, but he has to cowardly walk away, and it always bothers me. And so I read it, and he's like, yeah, you know, burning books was a good idea, just like an axe when they burned the witchcraft books. I'm just like, you know, this is the type of ridiculousness that I have to battle. I mean, not only am I sort of in mainstream with this very, you know, with a point of view that is not necessarily embraced by a lot of the people that run the media systems, but yet, you know, I'm trying to get in a foot in the door and say, hey, just let me have a place at the table and let people, you know, listen to me. But then I also battle some of these Christians that, you know, don't want me to do certain things or say certain things or act a certain way, and I just don't care anymore. I just said, I believe that I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, and I'm just going to go for it. And if Christians are offended because they think that, you know, you're not allowed to have a glass of wine, then that's their problem.
Now, you were born again when you were 9. It seems to me that's before you had a chance to partake of the really big sins. So what did it mean to be born again at such a young age?
That's a good point. Yeah, I was 9 years old, and that's the problem. I mean, I remember seeing, you know, people that would have wonderful testimonies when they became Christians, you know, and it's like I longed for the great testimony. I mean, I'd see people that, yes, I was addicted to heroin and the Lord freed me. And I'd be like, oh, if I was addicted to heroin, you know, I wanted to have that. I wanted to be found in a gutter somewhere with like vomit coming out of my mouth and say, free me, Jesus. That's what I wanted to be. And it never happened. I was 9, you know, so like you said, just how complex was my world. I was like, I used to have difficulty with long division, and the Lord freed me. You know, I didn't have a great testimony. But, you know, that's true. I became a Christian at a very young age. I really studied. I really read the material. I really tried to understand this. I really tried to live this life. And then, you know, in my early 20s, I sort of, like a lot of people that grow up in the church and probably in all, you know, serious religious commitments, I sort of walked away from it. I had a moment of crisis of faith, to be honest, where I said, is this real or am I just following some tradition? And I went off in took everything the world had to offer me and indulged in it and really tried to discover it. But again, I felt empty and lost, and I just said, this is not who I am, and this is not the way I'm going to commit my life. And a number of years ago, I sort of turned back around and decided to be this. And then, like I said, only a few years later did I really reach this place where I realized I've got to discover who I am and live this life because life's too short. And once I committed to it, here I am.
My guest is Christian comic Brad Stein. On his latest CD, A Conservative Unleashed, he jokes about the responsibilities God gave Adam and Eve.
Adam had the hardest gig. He had to name all the animals by himself. Think about that. Can you imagine having to name every animal there ever was and give it a creative name? That would be hard. That's why so many animal names are stupid. Adam got burnout. Gave out all the good names right off the bat. You shall be Hippopotamus. Big 12-letter creative name. Go forth, Hippopotamus. 10 hours later, cow. I guess. I'm running out of letters. I had another one. Yak, 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 yak. By the time the bugs got in line, he just named them whatever they were doing. Fly!
Now, I got to ask you this. Your last name is Stein, spelled yes. S-T-I-N-E. Stein is such a Jewish name. So
isn't it? I wish that would be, there's two wishes I have in my life.
Yeah.
If I could choose. One was I wish I was left-handed, because I think that's so cool that people can be left-handed.
Uh-huh.
And two, I wish I was Jewish or had some Jewish heritage. I just so admire the Jewish people. And but I'm
wondering
German.
If churches are afraid to book you, thinking Christian comic Stein.
Yeah, well, you know, and of course there are Jews that believe Jesus is the Messiah too, so it wouldn't be completely out of the norm. But you know, I don't know. I mean, it's spelled weird, and it's German. My forefathers came from Germany, like in the 1800s. I know that, so I just always assumed it meant like, you know, mug.
So you never have to like explain yourself.
Sometimes I'm coming into a church and they're saying, Ben Stein's coming! Ben Stein's coming! And it's like, no, it's Brad. I'm nobody. But and then they're all disappointed because they wanted to win my money. But anyways, so sometimes I do have to explain, or they're confused. And I've had people come up, and I've had Jews, you know, come up and ask, you know, are you Jewish or whatever? And it's like, I hope so, but I don't think so.
You have a new book, and your book, you conclude your book as the reporter from The New Yorker is writing his profile of you and following you around, the profile that was just recently printed. And your book ends with you describing an incident that happens. This reporter from The New Yorker is following you around. And after one of your shows, someone comes up and complains to the reporter. Mm. And you say, there are not many, and they're complaining about your performance, that they didn't like your performance. And you say, mm-hmm. there are not many chances for a performer to get profiled in such an esteemed publication as The New Yorker, let alone a Christian performer. Obviously, Satan was aware of this as well and wanted to make sure that when the opportunity arose, the world would see what kind of people make up this body called Christ. Obviously, division is more important to us than reconciliation. Mm. Do you blame Satan for
deep?
This guy?
Well, oh, I knew it. I knew it was going to be a Satan thing. You know what? I mean, I do believe in Satan. I mean, I do. I can't believe in God and not believe that there's an evil one, because I don't believe God creates evil. In my book, if you've read it, the first chapter is about not blaming Satan for everything. But But for everything. I don't say that he doesn't exist. I mean, I believe there is a satanic element, or there is a sense that there's this evil element that wants to sort of keep this message out. Now, I you know, that will sound fanatical, of course, to people that don't have this belief system. But yeah, I looked at it like this. You know, this guy found this reporter. He actually pulled him aside, away from me, and said, I want to talk to you. Now, this was in Boulder, Colorado. So these are people that, you know, are pretty liberal. And, you know, he wanted to say, you know, we're not like this. He liked my show, actually. But what he didn't like was, I don't want to be represented like this. I'm a liberal, but I'm a Christian too, and blah, 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 blah. So to me, it was more about the idea that he would look for a way to undermine something I was trying to accomplish, as opposed to coming to me and just saying, hey, you know, I don't like this, or I don't feel comfortable with this and whatever. At least have the guts to face me, you know, and let's talk about it among family. And he didn't choose to do that. And so I have two choices, to ignore it or put him in a book. So I put him in a book. That'll show him.
It's the nice thing to do.
That's right. I didn't name names.
So let me just get it straight. You say in your routine that when somebody blames Satan for their job, for losing their job, you say, it's not Satan's fault you lost your job. Maybe it's your incompetence.
That's right.
Right? But it
was my incompetence that made this guy go up to the...
fault that this guy went up to the reporter.
That's right. It was my incompetent okay. comedy material. That's right. You've single-handedly destroyed my career. Thank you. Now I know it's Satan, because he's in your place. That's funny. You're right. I mean, you know, look, you know, this is always going to be the conundrum of the Christian man, Christian woman, Christian person amongst those who do not have a like-minded belief system. You know, is there a God? Is there a spiritual world? Is there things happening outside our understanding that is sort of influencing life? You know, are people who don't believe what I believe ever going to fully come to grasp, you know, what I'm about, what drives me? Of course not. They're not supposed to. You know, a spirituality is a completely different sense of driving who you are than the material world. So I know there's going to become places where people are not just going to disagree, but are going to be sort of befuddled. You know, what are you talking about? What are you? What does this mean? But you know what? It means everything to me. I believe there is a God. I believe that that Jesus was God. And I believe that one day I'm going to be part of his world, and I'm going to go there. And I live my life that way. I'm not compromising it. I'm not changing from it, and I'm never going to walk away from it again. That's who I am. In the middle of all that, I'm a comic, and I'm good at it. I'm good because God said so. He gave me this gift, and I'm trying to make people laugh. I'm trying to uplift people. I do have a very specific point of view. I don't back away from it, but I believe that my comedy is available to everybody, irrespective of your politics or religion. I think you'd like it, but basically, for those who are conservative and are Christian and have never had a comic champion, I'm trying to fill that role.
And if someone doesn't like it, it's Satan's fault.
It's all up to Satan. That's right.
He came in and did something. One last question. What's the difference between hecklers at the kind of regular comedy clubs and hecklers on the Christian circuit?
The hecklers in the comedy clubs throw beer bottles and throw up. The hecklers in the Christian clubs throw their Bibles. So it's a whole different thing. You get hit with like a King James, which is like 8 pounds. Trust me, it leaves a mark.
Brett Stein, thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate the time.
Brad Stein's latest CD is called A Conservative Unleashed. His book is called Being a Christian Without Being an Idiot.